today as we come to the table.
When we confess and we truly take action to repent, and by the way, those of you that know you need to be restored to God, if you'll just confess and take whatever action, you make up your mind right now, I'm going to go home and flush that stuff down the toilet. I'm going to throw that DVD away. I'm going to call that person. Whatever you need to do to get right with God, you purpose in your heart to do it. And don't just say you're going to do it. Go do it. And God will restore you. Because look what happens. This is what God sees you like when you do that. I love this. What a merciful God. I have this underlined. And his soul could no longer endure. Look at that word. Endure the misery of Israel.
Confession and repentance are used quite often in church, but what do they really mean and how are we supposed to be doing them? Confession is verbally speaking your sin and apologizing. Repenting is an action. We must take action to change our thoughts and habits. That is where the spiritual change happens. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you that real life transformation comes from the Holy Spirit's intercession and your actions. You probably heard that if nothing changes, then nothing changes. You must do something different so you don't get caught up in your sins again. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 10, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Deuteronomy, God says that if a people group rejects him and worships and honors other gods, he will eventually give that land over to those people. As proclaimed in Deuteronomy, God was proclaiming to Israel what would happen to them if they started worshiping other gods and if they turned away from him. And he said this in Deuteronomy 28:43. With that setting, God said, if you worship other gods and turn away from me, here's what's going to happen. Look at verse 43. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. That is, they will begin to take over your land because you have shown yourself unfaithful to honor me in the midst of it. It's almost like giving your child a car and saying, you know what, you can drive this car as long as you prove faithful. But if I find you drinking and driving, if I find you speeding, if I find you doing something dangerous, you lose the privilege to that car. That is exactly what God does as a father to his children. He says, I'm giving you this land. And if you honor me with this land, I will bless you above all the nations of the earth. That comes out of the Psalms. He says, but if you dishonor me, hand me the keys. Hand me the keys back. You can no longer drive it. And I'm going to turn it over to other peoples from other lands and other nations. And I'll give them a chance to drive it. But you can no longer drive. You've lost your privilege. Guys, this is very sobering and humbling. And I think this is where we are as a nation. And I believe this is exactly where God had the children of Israel at this time. And again, I believe this is the problem of what's going on even with our borders. I don't think it's about building walls all around our nation. I don't think it's about what leaders are in position. Certainly we need to be responsible. Certainly we need to talk about the real issues of life in the pulpit as well as out of the pulpit. I realize that. But I don't care who we elect. If we elect somebody that builds like a wall of America that goes around every single border we've got from one end to the other and they close it up with a chain, I guarantee you it will not solve the problem of our land being given over to others. Because God says in Deuteronomy, if you dishonor me, I don't care what you're doing, I'm giving it to someone else. Now the good news is this. Well, then what do we do, Mark? How do we stop this? How do we restore it? We repent. We ask God to forgive us. We say, we want you back in our schools, Jesus. And we're not afraid to say, Jesus. We want you back in our government, Jesus. And we're not afraid to say Jesus because Jesus made us a great country. It wasn't just God. It wasn't just religion. It was Jesus, who is God, that made our nation great. And we as Christians need to stand up and be able to say that. But if we continue to repent against God, God will put us out of the land. You know, the Canaanites. Let me give you some history on this. The Canaanites, the Bible says that the Canaanites were living in sin against God. And God gave them 400 years to repent. That's a long time. He doesn't give nations usually that long to repent. God said he gave them over 400 years to repent. And he said, when the time is right, if they don't repent, I'm going to kick them out of the land and I'm going to bring the children of Israel is and give them the land of Canaan. That's exactly what happened. God brought the Jews in, gave them the land because the people of Canaan were sinning against God and they were not being responsible with the land that God had given them. So God gave it to someone else. And then what happened? The children of Israel did the same thing. They became unfaithful to God. Time went by. God brought Rome in, kicked the children of Israel out, and God gave it over to the Romans. And now they had responsibility for it. As you know, many years ago, our nation, this land, had many people on this land before we came here who were worshiping the gods of nature. They were worshiping false gods. So what did God do? God removed them from the land, and God moved us in here. And now what's happening with us? Now we're worshiping false gods. And we're turning to the gods of the other nations. And now God is beginning to bring the other nations in to overrun us. Have you noticed? Guys, it's not new. We just need to understand God's word. And we need to understand history. And we need to be bold enough to say it. And we as a church have to be the first ones to repent. And then ask for God to send revival to his church. And then to our nation. The hope is in God. It's not in politics or a politician. Or in any other program that we come up with. It's all in God. And this is what God was trying to get the children of Israel to understand. He said, if you want that so bad, I'll turn it over to you. If you want to come under the other gods, I'll give you Sharia law. If that's what you want, I'll let you have that, America. Go for it. But if you don't want that, if you want me, turn back and I'll deal with the problems. I'll fix your economy. I'll fix what's going on in all of your culture. I'll take care of it. And then when those come in from other lands that have other gods and they'll be welcome, you share with them about me, and they'll become part of the family. And that's what I want to see God do with America. I don't think it's shutting everyone out. I think it's bringing America back where it needs to be, and then everyone that comes in, leading them to Christ. You know, we have an opportunity, guys, with all these people coming in from around the world right now. We have an opportunity to preach Jesus and reach people that we've never had because we can't go to some of those places. You can't go to Saudi Arabia and preach Jesus Christ. They'll kill you. But if Saudi Arabia comes here, have at it. Because that's what we can be as the witnesses that we're supposed to be for Christ. But we have to first get our own house in order. And God was telling the children of Israel, look, your house is out of order. Your house is a mess. You're worshiping all these other gods. You're honoring them above me. You're not facing the truth. You're not speaking it as it really is. So I'm going to turn you over to the immigrants. You'll belong to them. And notice it says in verse 8, it says, from that very year, the year they started worshiping and honoring these other gods, they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years. And the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, in Gilead. Oh, they harassed them too as well. Yeah, I just read that funny. But the bottom line is they were being harassed from all sides. This is the result. And again, if you look back at our history, when we begin to turn away from God, we become harassed from all sides. And as God says it very clearly in his word, this is what's going to happen. And look at verse 9. So moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah also, against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. Not just distressed, but note that, severely distressed. I would say that America today is becoming severely distressed, wouldn't you? Afraid of what's going to happen when you go to the mall, afraid of what might happen at your workplace Christmas party, if you can even say Christmas in it. Or afraid of what might happen and wherever you go or whatever it's going to be. This is the world we live in today. I don't know if it'd be needed. Probably we would hate it because we'd have to come back. But if you could, like all of us, turn some big knob and go like 40 years back, one generation, and just look at America for a second, read the paper that day, walk outside, go get lunch and come back. Do you think we'd see a different place than we see today? Look what happens in a generation. My kids don't know what it's like to be able to just go somewhere and not have to worry about being abducted. Or worrying about who's going to try to attack them or hurt them. They don't know what it's like to feel safe on all corners. We used to know that. And again, this is all because of what we've become as a nation, turning away from God. This is exactly what was happening to the children of Israel. They are severely distressed. But notice God's going to get their attention. Verse 10, so the children of Israel cried out to the Lord saying, we have sinned against you because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals. Again, good first move. Notice what they did. And this is what God wants every one of us to always do if we're going to be restored individually and or as a nation. And that is this. First, we confess it. We're guilty before God. I have to first confess my sin and say, I'm guilty before God for my sin. Then I have to say before God and before you, we're guilty as a nation of turning away from God. We're guilty as a nation from rejecting God in our governments and our schools and all these things. We're guilty. God wants us to confess that. I think God will allow us to go downhill until we come to a point where we're going to say, okay, God, the reason our schools have turned into shooting grounds and are falling apart, the reason our government is completely out of control and no one can get along and we're falling apart there, the reason our economy is completely destroyed, the reason we're seeing terrorism within our borders and all these things are happening, we've turned from you, God. We've turned from you. This wasn't the nation we used to be. We turned from you, and now we need to turn back. Oh, God, we don't need to turn to a certain party in government. We've seen what that leads to. We need to turn to Jesus. He's the only one that can help. And God allowed them to come to a place where they finally admitted it, and they finally cried out to God after 40-some years and then 18 more years or whatever, and they finally said, we see the problem. And God says, good first step. You at least confess that you've sinned and that you've forsaken me. But notice they didn't just forsake God, verse 10. They also served the other gods. And this is what's amazing to me. It wasn't just like they included God with it. They said, we don't want God. We only want the other gods. And God says, all right, that's what you're going to get. You've made your bed, so to speak, and now you're lying in it. So the Lord said to the children of Israel, notice this, hard words. Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? And the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites, which are the Midianites, when they oppressed you and you cried out to me and I delivered you from their hand. I've done this. Remember what I've done for you as a people, he would say. Look at verse 13. Yet you have forsaken me and you've served other gods. Now here's the hard part. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Wow. I hope I never hear that from the Lord on a personal level or a national level. As I said, do I think God's through with America? I don't believe that. I've not heard God say to my heart, Mark, stop praying for America. And I'm not the standard, but I'm saying I believe he would speak to all of us as a body. He would start. We would all start hearing it. We don't think we're supposed to pray for our nation anymore. God's going to judge it. I think we would know that. Have any of you heard that? I hope not. And I hope if you have heard it, you're very unspiritual. Because I believe there's still hope for our nation. When I see the children of Israel and how they continued to break God's heart and rebel against him and accept every other god and every other false religion except the one that made them great, then I say, you know what? If God can restore them, God can restore us. And I still believe that God wants to restore us and God can restore us. But God says to them, look, basically, unless you repent, unless I see repentance, I will deliver you no more. God says, I'm done. Because what they were doing was, here's what they were doing. They were saying that they repented, but they weren't taking action to repent. How do we know that? Because if they were taking action, God would have received them. So we know from this, because whenever you repent, God receives you. So what they're saying is, oh God, forgive us, and oh God, help us. But they're doing the same things over and over. Remember after 9/11 on the steps of the Capitol, Congress and Senate singing God Bless America? How many months did it take? How few months did it take for us to go right back to killing babies with reckless abandon? Not even fearing God in any way. How quickly did we go right back to living in the sinful lifestyle that our nation lives in? How quickly did we do that? The bottom line is God says, I don't want to hear your songs. I don't want to hear your prayers anymore. I want to see action. I've got to see it for real. Maybe you've been in a situation in marriage before. Maybe you've had a relationship where someone says, I love you, and you're over it. You've heard that they love you for all these years, but they keep having adulterous relationships or doing all these things, and finally say, you know what? I don't need to hear what you're going to say anymore. I need to see repentance. I've got to see action. You know, when they came down to John the Baptist there at the river, the Sadducees and the Pharisees came down there. And they were coming down to act as if they wanted to be baptized by this great spiritual man, John the Baptist. And John saw them standing there in line. I love John. He wasn't scared about anybody. I mean, he didn't really have much to lose. He's living in the desert and, you know, wearing a bunch of sackcloth and ashes and eating locusts. He wasn't going to, like, lose his house or something. But still, John says, he looks at him, you brood of vipers. I mean, who's warned you of the wrath to come? You're coming in here playing this whole religion game? He says, God doesn't want to see your robes and your religious speak and the way you talk. God hates it. He wants to see you broken in repentance. He wants to see you truly get on your knees and worship God and turn your life around and quit living in sin. Quit cheating the people. Quit robbing from people. Quit living in evil. Serve God. He says, God doesn't need you. You need God. And that's exactly what I think God would say to many of us in our nation today. It's like, you can stand on the steps of the Capitol and sing God Bless America all you want, but you better start passing bills that prove it. And then it needs to be signed at the president's desk. We honor God. And we're not afraid of using the name of Jesus Christ. He says, when I see these things, I'll bless you as a nation. But until then, you can have at it. I'll give you to the immigrants. I'll turn you over to yourself. I'll let you go the direction you're going. The scary thing to hear for God to say, I'm not going to deliver you anymore. Notice what he says. Oh, these gods, they've been a big help to you. Look at verse 14. Go and cry out to the gods which you've chosen. You let them help you. Oh, God of entertainment, I need you tonight so much. Or whatever God we have. There's nothing wrong in entertainment. There's nothing wrong in sports or all these things. There's nothing wrong in money. Money is a very present help in time of trouble. That's not scripture. That's just Mark. But if I start worshiping money, and I start worshiping football, and I start worshiping fishing or hunting or whatever else that takes the place of God, these are gods. They're gods. If I start honoring other religions in America just to be inclusive and tolerant and don't speak the truth about the true God of the Bible anymore, then I deserve what I get. I've made my bed. And the good news is that even if we've done that, we're going to see that God will still rescue us. If we'll simply cry out, God will still rescue. It's amazing to me. He says, yeah, go ahead, cry out to those gods. See what they do. You know, find out what worshiping the dollar in America has done for you. Look at your economy. We've worshiped money in America for years, and we have the greatest debt our nation's ever had, and some say that we can never get out of. Now, I don't know if that's true. I know that we can get out of it with God. I don't care what the debt is. If we serve God again, God will deliver us. Because God owns the cattle on a thousand hills and even more. He created the universe. And if we honor him, God will rescue us. But if we don't honor God, we're doomed in many ways. He says, you want that help? Cry out to go, cry out to your economy. Oh, help us. Let us, great God of borrowing, help us. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. And the children of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Bingo. Good job. You confessed. Step one. He says, do to us whatever seems best to you and deliver us this day, we pray. There's the first step. You've got to confess. But now if we don't repent, again, no more songs on the steps of the Capitol. I want to see real action across America. What's the next thing he calls them to do? Real action. Look at this. Verse 16. So they put away the foreign gods. They took action and really repented. Not just words, action. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and they serve the Lord. And I love this. When we confess and we truly take action to repent. And by the way, those of you that know you need to be restored to God, if you'll just confess and take whatever action, you make up your mind right now, I'm going to go home and flush that stuff down the toilet. I'm going to throw that DVD away. I'm going to call that person. Whatever you need to do to get right with God, you purpose in your heart to do it. And don't just say you're going to do it. Go do it and God will restore you. Because look what happens. This is what God sees you like when you do that. I love this. What a merciful God. I have this underlined. And his soul could no longer endure. Look at that word. Endure the misery of Israel. You think God sits in heaven and goes, I just love the fact that you guys are buried in debt down there in America. I'm just so happy about San Bernardino and the new terrorist attacks that are happening in Chattanooga and Fort Hood. And all. I'm glad about that. God's not doing that. God is suffering with us. He can hardly endure it. He loves us, even as he loves every nation in the world and every person in the world and every culture in the world. His heart breaks, but he's in heaven saying, I can't do anything unless you confess and you repent. And if you confess and you repent, then I can no longer endure your suffering. I will take action. It's killing me. I want to help you. It's my desire. I yearn to do it. And yet we stop him because we won't confess and we won't repent. I love it. He could no longer endure the misery of Israel. And for some of you, if you guys will simply confess and repent, God is really, he hates to see you suffering. And he won't endure it any longer if you'll just give him an excuse to bless you. And then the people of Ammon gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled together and encamped at Mizpah. So everybody's kind of gathering their forces now. And the people, the leaders of Gilead, said to one another, who is the man who will reign, or rather begin to fight against the people of Ammon? He shall be the head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And we're going to see that God heard their prayer. God could not endure their misery. God now gives them another deliverer by the name of Jephthah. But guys, the bottom line for us is this today. God desires to bless your life individually, and he desires to bless our life as a nation. It is our fault for stopping it from happening. And if you're doing anything that's stopping God from blessing your life, confess it. Just tell him. Don't hide it. Don't pretend that you're okay. Don't pretend that God accepts it. You know, this isn't that bad. Listen, it's all that bad. We need God. We're sinners. Confess it. Be honest with him. And then take the action necessary to fix it. So many people simply say a prayer. I've had people before at the altar in tears. And I'm thinking, this is it. Their life's turned around. And I find out they're doing the exact same thing they've always been doing because they didn't repent. Purpose in your heart. I'm going to confess and I'm going to stop doing it. I'm going to repent and turn to the Lord. It's a lot different thing to struggle with a sin than to simply choose to carry on in it. If you're struggling in a sin, God will give you grace and He'll work with you to deliver you. But if you're simply saying a prayer and you're not even trying to turn to God for His power to repent of it, you're going to continue on in the same problem that you're in today. And the same thing is true for our nation. And so I want to finish today by praying for us individually. And then I want to also pray for our nation that God would begin to raise up people who would speak the truth and a nation that would be convicted, the church starting first, being convicted and being restored, and see God rescue our nation, because I really see no other hope for our nation. And I don't mean to stand up here and preach doom and gloom. I just know God, I know His word, and I know history. And I would be remiss if I didn't share it with you in honesty as your pastor. But the good news is God can restore us, and God will restore us if we will simply lead the way as the church in repentance. And it starts with each of us individually in our own hearts. Let's pray. Lord, You promise that if we will confess our sins and repent of our sins, that You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that You'll forgive us and cleanse us. And I pray first, God, those of us who know that we've been maybe living in a way we're not supposed to be living, we're involved in some sin, we've been a part of the problem of America and even our own family. God, thank You for convicting us. And I pray that right now, Lord, we would begin to confess that. And if that's you, begin to confess to the Lord right now. Be honest with Him. No games. Lay it out there. Lord, You say that if we'll confess and repent, You will heal us. And so, God, I pray not only will we be confessing, but that we would purpose in our heart to take whatever action we must take in order to be restored to You. And God, I know You'll do it. So, Father, help us individually and help us as a church around the nation to do that, that our land may be restored. But God, I pray for those that may be hearing this right now that don't know You, and maybe for the first time they're feeling that conviction. They feel Your Spirit, Lord, convicting them that they are guilty before You and they need to do something about it. The Bible says Jesus died for you on a cross. It's because He went to the cross and spilled His blood that you can be forgiven. But here's what you've got to do. And if this is you, here's your instructions. You need to confess your sin to the Lord right now. And then you need to repent. Stop doing what you know is wrong and turn to what you know is right based on the Word of God. And then believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation and that His blood cleanses you from all sin. The Bible says if you do that, you will be saved. And Lord, I pray if there's any listening right now that don't know You, that right now You would stir their hearts to begin to confess their sin, to repent of their sin, and to believe that Your death on that cross and the blood You spilled paid for their sin. And because You rose from the grave 3 days later, they will now rise to live forever with You in the kingdom of God. And we thank You for that, Lord. We give You glory for that. Father, have mercy on us individually and have mercy on this nation. I see us, Lord, taking the same path that Israel took. And Lord, You told them, this is why. You're honoring the other gods and You're not honoring Me. God, we are guilty of that in America. And I pray that we would now repent, turn back to You, and begin to honor the God that made this nation great. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. And we ask, God, You would do it for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today in this interesting passage of Judges. Here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is working his way through this Old Testament book. And there are lessons for us to learn from these people who lived during that time. Samson is one of the last judges mentioned in this book, and he had quite a tale. He was meant to live as a Nazarite, committing himself to the Lord and the Lord's things. But he had a straying eye that led him straight to all the wrong women. He was drawn toward Philistine women, who tricked him more than once, and ultimately led to his downfall. But did you know that God mentions Samson in the book of Hebrews when He refers to many people who had great faith? When you think of the faith heroes of the Bible, Samson is probably not going to make your short list, right? But in God's eyes, He sees things differently. That should be an encouragement for you today, as you may not see yourself as anything, but God sees you differently and uniquely. He recognizes strengths in you that you may not even be able to observe from your perspective. Keep these things in mind today as you go about the day, whether you feel purposeful in what you're doing or If you're wondering what in the world God is doing, He's there with you, and He is for you, excited to see your faith lived out. That's all for today's teaching, but we invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, where you can be directed to our church's service times. Just click on the Calvary Knoxville link. Once more, our website is thewaymedia.net. We look forward to you joining us again for Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.